It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Today we have Kevin Klein with us, not to be confused with Calvin Klein, different guy, doing very different things. But
his
Kevin
name
Klein,
is written on my underwear, though.
It is written on your underwear. Yes,
correct.
You would be a Calvin Klein model, wouldn't you?
Who are you talking to? Me?
Either one of you.
I was gonna say that's a
just
high
throw
compliment.
That in the universe, just throwing that out there. See who's gonna latch on first. Yeah.
I can see that from Kevin for sure, though.
You know, it's not out of the cards, you know, I'll say that.
Risky business style coming down the stairs in his
there it is. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, you are the front man for Valley Heart. Valley Heart's about to release a new album, which is why we wanted to chat with you. But we'll chat about that new album and everything later. But we do want to chat all about the history of Valley Heart. But before we get there, how are you doing today? How's your paranormal show going right now?
It's going great. We're on season 9.
Wow.
You know,
it's
we're
been
just
going on for a while.
It's been a couple seasons now. You know, we're just trying to keep up. We're doing an Everybody Loves Raymond themed season next, and I'm really excited about that. And that's going to be real funky, and we're all just going to dress up like that. And you know, we have all sorts of cool stuff going on that end. But I'll save you the trouble, and that'll be for another podcast.
Could you imagine what was Raymond's brother's name? He was like the super tall guy. He was like 6'8".
Robert.
Could you imagine his ghost like standing over your bed? Like most ghosts are already scary enough, but like his ghost would be terrifying. Like his ghost would just literally look like it's demonic if it's that big.
Especially if it has his voice. I mean, that's like a lurch voice.
Yeah, it's a low one. Yeah. He's already halfway there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a ghost.
He doesn't have to go very far in the becoming a demon process after he dies.
Correct. Yeah, some of us are closer to that than others, and there's no shame in that, you know?
That's right. Well, Kevin, let's chat about Valley Heart. You guys are, I feel like out of most of the bands we interview, you have to be like one of the newest bands. I looked it up, like you guys started in 2016. So like within the last 5 to 6 years, I think most bands that we interview are probably a little bit older than that. What was it 5 to 6 years ago that you were like, let's do this thing? I'm sure at that point you guys might not have even imagined that it would become a signed band with Tooth and Nail and everything. But what point or like when it was 5, 6 years ago when you guys started, like, What was like the first intentions? Like what did you guys want to do? What was Valley Heart going to be 5 or 6 years ago?
It's a great question. So at the time it was a different group of guys that were in the band now. I mean, some members have sort of weaved in and out and stayed and left. At the time, collectively, we were all actually the same guys that started Valley Heart in 2016. We had been in a Christian metalcore band in our teen years.
Like anyone, right?
Like your average Joe Schmo. and, you know, had done that and like done it earnestly. Like wasn't just, you know, it was like blood, sweat, and tears, like did the thing, like toured a bunch when we were teenagers, right? And, you know, in our early 20s, we sort of grew away from that and, you know, sort of started listening to your softer contemporary adult rock, you know, and
like Jars of Clay or what?
Yeah, Jars of Clay, you know, dabbled in your drum. I mean, and honestly, like we started listening to Bon Iver, Ben Howard, like that kind of stuff. And, you know, a lot of singer songwriter, you know, it's just like different stuff than your crabcore breakdown stuff. So we were just like, hey, you know, musically speaking, we want to start like a rock band. And in our like metalcore band, like we would always envision something chiller and loved playing that and listen to that throughout our years. And then it was like, hey, let's start that kind of band. But it was also a very different situation where, you know, we had all been in different places in life, spiritually and all that stuff. So we had seen the ins and outs of being in a quote Christian band, and we were like, let's just not do that and let's just start a band. But I think, you know, lyrically speaking, writing a lot about that stuff still and processing that, but it came from a place of like, hey, let's keep playing music, but in a different way than I think our teen years had pushed us towards. So that was the birth of Valley Heart for sure. It is molded into something different even now, but I would say like in 2016, we were all in that place of, we still want to do music. We want to like have some sort of heaviness, but in a different way, let's write some rock songs. Yeah.
Well, now that you're with Tooth and Nail, you might as well just like call the Solid State side of things and say, hey, we got a metalcore band for you if you want to check them out.
You know, man, that would be funny if we hadn't actually made that joke so many times already. That has been a thing. Because at the time when we were in Solid State was the golden goose. Like it was the thing we were reaching for. And like, you know, I swear to God, we would wake up every morning and check our emails and like just hope for that email. And and it's just so full circle and so hilarious that, you know, like now we're working with those guys and it just feels like, it feels wild. Not that it doesn't feel as big now, but like there are contemporaries and like we're working together. But I remember at the time for like the Christian label, it was definitely the thing we were working for. And they've been really awesome since. So it's so funny.
What was that early history like for Valley Heart before Tooth and Nail came knocking? Like, had you guys released anything yet? I'm sure you guys were playing shows and everything at that point, but what was early history like?
Yeah, so it's kind of a funky story. We actually were on another label. We were on Rise Records.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. And that was an interesting experience. And by interesting, I mean very interesting.
Interesting or like Boston interesting?
Like an Ohio crabcore interesting, you know, like Cornerstone Fest, like no stage, people surrounding the band interesting. No, it was, I think, another one of those labels that we were like, oh, wow, like this is something we'd always dreamed about. But unlike the Tooth and Nail situation, which is been very great so far, it kind of turned into something that, you know, the guy who had signed us there left like 2 weeks after we signed, you know, like we were sort of left hanging. It was kind of one of those situations. Yeah, luckily it all everything's smoothing over now, but we put out a record through them, and that was our first LP, Everyone I've Ever Loved, that came out in 2018. And it was kind of it came out in December, and I remember they were like, oh, let's just release it in December. Like no one's no PR is happening then. It'll be a great like secret. And I was like, I don't think that's a good idea, guys. Like nothing's happening in December. Like everything's closed. Like there's going to like end of like albums of the years are already released. They're like, nah, it's going to be great. And so they, you know, that was a weird thing, but luckily, I mean, that album has sort of made its way to people regardless. And, you know, in retrospect, it's been a cool testament of how, even though things might not logistically be the best way, you know, they might not pan out at the beginning the best way, I believe that things that need to be heard by the people that need to hear them, it'll get to them somehow. And that album's definitely been a testament for that. So yeah, it was Rise Records. We did some tours, you know, we released an EP at first called the Nowadays EP. And then we released that, that first LP, Everyone I've Ever Loved, and kept doing our thing. And we released an EP last year called Scenery, and now Heal My Head. So it's been sort of a progression.
I think one of my favorite things about your quote unquote early days, if we can call them that, I mean, it's really not that long ago.
Yeah.
Every single one of your music videos, you all got the, like the blue steel smolder going on.
Ooh.
And that is,
Dude, I
know what you're doing there. I know what you're doing there.
All right. Yeah, you do. Yeah, man. We, you know, we take that out of the closet every once in a while. You know?
Yeah. Well, you guys pull it off well, which means that the next music video needs to have Kevin Klein underwear models.
Calvin.
And it's
okay.
But not Calvin Klein. Kevin Klein is what it says.
Wow.
You need to make your own brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not too many bands are selling their own underwear. Like Valley Heart needs to sell a Kevin Klein version.
Wow. There's an idea. Yeah. All right. Well,
and then on the front, you can put like, we used to be Crabcore, but we don't have any anymore.
No more in the market. Yeah. All right. I'll work on that. I'll figure that out. All right. Yeah. I love that. Market pipe. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still thinking about crabs. Yeah. You don't want to get crabs too involved with underwear. That might get a little.
Well, that was supposed to be the kind of the joke there, but I don't think I got it. Executed it the way I should have. So
I love that.
Cullen's not the best at delivering. If you can't tell,
I'm not.
The ideas guy. Yeah.
All right. So you released an album with Rise. You released an EP. What was like the process of getting signed to Tooth & Nail, or what did that look like?
So they reached out, Adam over at Tooth & Nail, who is one of their A&Rs, reached out and was just like, hey man, we'd love to chat. And I was like, oh wow, cool. And it sort of turned into, you know, I think we were sort of burned from the whole first label experience, and we had put out the EP we put out last year through like a smaller label called Honey Pit, which is like my buddy Alex. So we were doing kind of the independent thing, and I was planning on doing that sort of continuously. And then Tooth & Nail reached out, and, you know, they really, for lack of a better word, were patient, because I was just like, I don't know, guys, like I just need time to like kind of do my own thing. And they really, really wanted to work together, like passionately so, and kept following up, kept reaching out, and were like, hey, like, we really, really, really want to make this work. We'll figure it out. Like, we know you had a weird experience. Like, we want to show you that like working with the label could be really awesome and collaborative. So yeah, it was many, many conversations later that we were like, I think this makes a lot of sense. It's going to feel like a good partnership, and knock on wood, fingers crossed, it's been exactly that since. So
were there other suitors in terms of labels?
Not so much. I mean, there were a couple, like, like Equal Vision reached out, and
Nice.
Yeah, there were, but it was very obvious very quickly that Tooth & Nail was definitely the right fit. And again, just the most excited and passionate and like genuinely ready to go. And that was so cool. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So it does seem a little interesting that you've mentioned, you know, you were signed to Rise. You even were getting some interest from Equal Vision. You're obviously now signed to Tooth & Nail. And you used to be in a metalcore band. It does seem as if the context of music that you're in, the sort of scene of music, even though this is like an indie pop band or an indie band, it seems as if like you're kind of really associated more with like the hardcore community, it seems like. And I just find that really interesting. Like, is that something that you've like thought through before, of like that, you know, you've gotten interest and have been a part of more like hardcore and like metal type of a scene with your record labels and maybe even some of the bands that you're associated with, even though you're a very much like a very indie band. I would even go as far to say like kind of an indie pop band at times.
Mm. Interesting.
I would say the same thing.
Wow. That is a great question. I think a lot of it has to do with our roots. Possibly, I mean, like you're saying, musically, not a lot of that has remained in our sound. But I think that a lot of our roots and a lot of our formative connections that came through that first band and those early years sort of have seeped their way in the people that we know and sort of the community we've led in. But I've always been excited about, well, at first, I'll say this. I think at first I kind of resented that association. And it was kind of like, oh, like, why? Like, you know, you're kind of the kid that left his hometown and you don't want to be associated with that. You know, you're kind of like, no, I'm a big kid now. And it's, you know, there's a bit of that. Everybody else is just
watching Ben Shapiro videos.
Exactly. Exactly. But I would say now it's more of a thing that I've learned to embrace, like, very fully. And I kind of think that comes with just understanding that, like, that is so cool that you can kind of weave in and out. And you know, we all have our background. And I think that's kind of paralleled, not to get into, like, faith stuff, but, like, I've definitely had that sort of parallel journey with a lot of faith stuff of just, like, walking away and, like, not wanting to be associated with anything at all and just being like, nope. Where now it's like, cool, like, this is where I come from, and I'm more about redefining that relationship rather than sort of nullifying it. So I think with the hardcore thing, it's interesting to see how it comes up. In the beginning, I would say it was being on Rise. It was definitely more jarring because of, you know, that label specifically. You have, like, a lot of heavy, heavy, heavy bands, and we were just nothing like it. So that felt a little weird sometimes. But now, I mean, Tooth & Nail has, like, all sorts of, you know, all sorts of genres. But I think for me, it's just, I don't know. I love just not thinking about that stuff either and just writing what feels true. And if it's the context of, like, hardcore kids that love it because it's the lighter thing in their sort of library, cool. If it's the titting right for people who love, like, alternative rock, indie music, cool. It's just always the focus, like, write stuff that feels natural and right. And wherever it lands is, like, out of my control, right? And I think for a long time I tried to, like, no, go here. Like, we want to be in this scene or that scene. Where now it's like, dude, like, you don't really have control over that. You just got to write the best stuff that comes from your heart, and it'll find the people that, like, need it the most. So, yeah, I've just kind of accepted that.
Yeah, I ask because I find it really interesting. I watch, like, a lot of Finn McKinty videos. I don't know if you know who that guy is, but he's, like, a punk alternative music YouTuber. And he has these, like, very interesting kind of, like, video essays about the scene and about different bands. And he's also, like, pretty funny. And so he, you know, has that element to his videos. But he was talking about how bands like Newfound Glory and Saves the Day, like, both Newfound Glory and Saves the Day, even though they ended up becoming very influential pop punk bands, they actually have their roots in the hardcore community. And so a lot of hardcore fans, as pretentious as they may be, actually really embrace Newfound Glory and Saves the Day, ironically enough, even though they're, like, very much pop punk bands. And and so that I was curious about that because I see, like, a similarity with Valley Heart to, again, like, kind of that Christian or just the general, like, hardcore community in that scene, that there is, like, that association that I find really interesting. The fact that even though you're very distinctly, like, this indie band, your roots and the scene that you're in is very different. And it seems similar to, like, Newfound Glory and Saves the Day. And I'm sure there's other similar kind of pop punk bands that might have had their start in the hardcore scene. But anyway.
Sure. Sure. No, it is definitely an interesting sort of thing to see. Yeah, I didn't know about Newfound Glory. Well,
anyway,
I think there's something there too, where I know for me personally, I can't listen to heavy music all the time. I really love heavy music still, but when I don't want to listen to heavy music, oftentimes I want to find something that still has a little bit of edge. And so I find indie rock kind of to be where that realm is, where you fall right in perfectly. And I think that it helps that, you know, you've already had that experience in the hardcore or heavy music genre area, that it makes it much more accessible, because I think a lot of the writing styles tend to be relatively similar, you know, maybe a little bit abstract, which that's actually something I want to get into here if we can,
like, the progressions. And yeah, I see what you're saying, the song structure.
Yeah. And I think that your specific songwriting style is one of the more unique I've ever seen. I really, really dig it because it feels like it's very, very existential. And what a lot of people who write very existentially kind of fall victim to is an issue with getting a little too wordy and a little too, like, out of this world, if you know
heady.
What I mean.
Yeah.
Little too heady. But what you do very, very nicely is you bring it back down to reality in a very delicate way, you know, using words and terms that make you feel like it's still, it's existential, and it's like thinking about something a little bit bigger than ourselves, but it's also right here in this very moment. I'm really, really digging your writing style, and I'm really, like, thirsting for a lot more of it.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much.
We talked a little bit about, like, the actual like signing and everything of Tooth and Nail. Can you talk a little bit about what that whole relationship's been like? You know, it's Tooth and Nail, especially over the last 5 or so years, has really kind of had to redefine what it is. You know, there, mm-hmm. it really had kind of a core identity for, you know, since its beginning to, especially in the 2000s, and then 2010s happened, and a lot of those core bands that had really made Tooth and Nail, ended up leaving or ended up disbanding or whatever. And so it's really had to find like a new identity. And so I'm just curious about like, at least your place in the Tooth and Nail catalog, like what's your relationship been like, given the fact that they are very much in this like space of kind of redefining who they are and what they're trying to be in the world?
Absolutely. I spent a lot of time thinking about that and talking about it with them, just because I was interested in that as much as I was interested in what we were trying to be, because I know that.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. You know, the culture behind labels and... Because honestly, like, you can go out and get a loan, or like, we could, you know what I'm saying? Like, being a part of a label is a cultural thing. It's this like energy that you're linking up with and you're sort of putting yourself out with. And I was interested in knowing or understanding, what are you guys trying to do? Because I understand what we're trying to do, right? And if it's not going to link up, maybe it's not a good idea to, you know, do this thing together. And what my understanding of it was, and what we've chatted a lot about, and I continuously have conversations with specifically my boy Adam over there, is just the idea of how culture and music, and it's all changing, like ever changing. And, you know, there used to be this idea, I think, I don't know what your guys' background is, but with like Christian bands, right? A Christian band, and that stuff is just like, it doesn't really exist anymore. Like you would have a band, and then you would have a secular band, and you would have a Christian version of that band.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And there was like an alternative scene of Christian bands, and that Tooth and Nail, like that was Tooth and Nail's roster. Right. Now I think the lines between those, and this is not an original idea. I was listening to a podcast with Semler and Pete Holmes. They were talking about this, and I sort of was inspired by this. I was thinking, wow, you know, because of streaming, because of sort of the blurred lines of a lot of these communities, you don't have those like clear culture cutouts anymore. Everything's kind of blending and getting really messy, and it's really awesome. Now the Christian community has kind of woken up to this, the Christian music community, and they're like, cool, like CCM, like that's where we're going to put our, like, there's no more alternative. Like, we're going to put all our eggs in the basket of like worship band. Right. So with that said, you've kind of had the death of your, you know, your alternative quote Christian version of your favorite secular band. And it's all kind of a different landscape. So I think that has definitely played a role in sort of Tooth and Nail's rearranging of sort of ideas.
Like, even as a label, it doesn't seem as if they identify as there's the secular alternative label and we're the Christian version. They, like, as a label in general, they don't even seem to identify in that way anymore.
I don't think so. Cause I don't think there's a, I mean, just from a business perspective, I don't think there's a market for that anymore.
Right.
Right. Like, I don't think that like specifically younger kids, that doesn't exist so much anymore, as opposed to, you know, your worship bands. Like, so I don't know. It's just interesting to see. And I've been interested to see how it's going to play out there. But I think for us, you know, I was very clear up front of like, hey man, you know, we're not a Christian band at all. I mean, I come from that background personally, but I just write songs and I never will have an agenda to push. And I mean, they were like, dude, that is not the expectation. And there was no issues on that end. But what's cool is I feel like the hardcore thing where maybe I've been trying to push myself away from it for some time, sort of now come into a space where like, I'm more interested in redefining what that even means than going away from it. And sort of challenging people's idea of what it means to be person who like has faith or writes about faith and plays rock music. And I love the messiness of it. And I'm more interested in being in that space and being on Tooth & Nail almost gives an opportunity to be like, hey, we're redefining this whole thing and like having a small role in that. And that's really been really exciting, especially given the background of like growing up and listening to Tooth & Nail bands and all that stuff. So it's been really cool to sort of see how things are changing and feel like I have a small sort of piece in that. So yeah.
Where would you say you land now then with that? Obviously with the assumption that it's probably constantly changing and it would be maybe different tomorrow, but right now in this moment, like how would you define like what it means for you to be like a person who has had faith and where you're at in your faith now and also writing music and yeah, like where would you say you land on all of that right now?
Oh man, that is a big one.
It's a loaded one.
Loaded. You know, I was just talking to, I have a friend, I'm in Montreal, by the way, Canada right now, and I have a friend who's visiting, and we were just talking about this today. And, you know, I think I've landed on the fact that I've not landed, and that's awful, you can edit that out, but, you know, it's just this kind of thing of, man, I don't fully know, and not in like a cop-out way of, it's all a mystery, but in a true way of, hey, like, I am in the process of understanding and learning. And I think where I'd say with land is I'm still asking those questions and I'm still trying to understand how those things play out. So I wouldn't say there's a place I've landed at all, but I will say I've learned to deal with the dissonance that comes with being in that place probably better than I did in my early 20s, where you're just sort of ripping it apart because you're just like, I don't know how to deal with this space, right? And so in a sense, it's not landing somewhere, but it's like, cool. Like I have the tools and the values that I built now to not feel like I'm just like free falling, but I'm able to, through art, through community, through like conversation, through stuff like this, sort of have a space where it's like, oh wow, like I'm not just free falling right now. So I guess how that relates to music is I try to write music that allows people to have a space and a language to feel like that as well. To feel like, cool, like I've maybe grown up with not just in the church, but some sort of grounding identity. And now, whether it's grief or trauma or life not going the way you thought it would, throws a curveball in that. And you're sort of feel like you're disoriented. And I guess I try to write lyrics and music that meets people at those places and allows for conversation and for just, I guess, hope in those situations. So I don't know if that fully answers it, but.
Sounds like you've landed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just a layover. We're going up soon.
I like it. So speaking of that, can you tell us about, you know, the process of this new record and where that's at and everything?
So we are done. The record is done. We are in the process of releasing it. We have been working on it for 2 years now, and it's been a process, one that's been really great, but also really hard at times. And, you know, your typical like ups and downs, but we're in the process of releasing it, and it's super exciting. And, you know, we spent a lot of time writing it and then recording it and then doing all the, like the music videos and artwork stuff. And it's really been the next step of whatever journey I think we've all been on in our personal lives, but definitely in a musical sense, something that we're really excited about and felt collaborative with and excited. Yeah.
Speaking of music videos, how bad did you want that $10 million check to actually be real?
Oof, too bad. Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. That was a good time. Yeah, the numbers music video you're referring to, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of that the Julia music video from You Without You a few years ago.
Oh.
Like they did the like kind of an 80s dance kind of vibe.
Yeah,
you're sort of getting that with this music video a little bit.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Yeah, influences. Yeah, we pulled from all sorts of things. Like we Lock and Stash, the production company we did that video with, we had some Zoom meetings like this, and we're just throwing out some influences. And yeah, I think we landed somewhere pretty cool. Yeah.
So where do you see Valley Heart in the next year and a half, let's say the next year, What's kind of coming up the pipe?
Well, you know, I don't know fully, to be honest. I do know that.
Haven't landed yet, huh?
Haven't landed yet. Yeah, exactly. It's just the answer for everything. No, I mean, for real, we wanted to really give our due diligence in putting out this album. I mean, we could talk about the album making in itself for hours, but we have put so much into it and so much went into the experiences of it where I think I'm just trying to be like, cool, how do we put this out in a way that feels exciting and true and like all our eggs in that basket rather than like planning a bunch of tours or like, you know, it's important to be doing that stuff. But I think my hope is that this album reaches the people it needs to reach and starts the conversation it needs to start. And hopefully we'll have an opportunity to play for more people. I mean, we'd love to play this live for people and around the States or even beyond. So the hope is to get it on the road, to get the show on the road. But honestly, just have the album spread as far as you can and create conversations about it. So that's really what I'm looking forward to, I think, genuinely.
Very cool.
When the diehard Valley Heart fan first listens to this album in its entirety, and I'm sure, you know, you're a fan of art. You want every person to have kind of their own individual interpretation of the piece of art. But I'm sure as an artist, there is like some sort of hope of like, this is what a listener would come away with from this album. So when that diehard Valley Heart fan listens to the entire album in its entirety for the first time, what do you hope they come away with it?
That humans are resilient. And that you can go through some fucked up shit and still find hope.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds like you're preaching the gospel or something.
Who knows? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. But that's, I guess, for other people to find out.
You could become one of those. What were those like? Those spirit core bands. You could become one of those now.
Imagine. Full circle for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's the short answer, but I mean, I hope more, but I guess if I were to wrap it up, just that, yeah, things can get weird, but that you could still find your way back or forward. Yeah.
Well, I dig that. I'm very excited for the new album. We got a little bit of a pre-listen here, and I was really intrigued, especially by three different songs, and I've listened to them obsessively.
Oh wow! So may I ask which, or is that for the after hours here?
We can talk about that after hours. Cool. But specifically,
there's usually other things that we do in the after hours, but I guess we could do that.
Yeah,
perfect. Yeah.
It might dampen the party, but you know.
Yeah, Black Sheep After Dark, the very first song, Birth, off the new album, which I think people. I think it's the best opener I've heard in the last.
It's such an interesting opener. It's such an interesting choice to make that the opener.
It is.
Yeah. Wow. Cool.
I love it, man.
All right, Kevin. It is that time. I'm very, very curious about this top five. You grew up as a Tooth and Nail kid. Cullen and I grew up as Tooth and Nail kids. So I am very curious to know how many Tooth and Nail bands are going to end up on this top five album list. So top five, here we go. Are you ready? You said you're ready. Are you ready? Are you really ready?
Yeah, I'm really ready.
Okay. Do you have this in order or is it just five albums?
Just five. Okay. Just the old five.
Start out with whatever one and we'll chat about it.
Blunderbusses.
All right. I'm going to do David Bazan, Curse Your Branches.
Of course. I just tweeted about this album today.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, that's funny. I thought that was maybe why you brought it up. That's funny.
Wait, I might have seen that. I didn't even know you tweeted that. Wow, Twitter is
it's just
a wild place.
It's just Mason's world. We're all living in it. He thinks everything's about him.
He's the shadow of Robert Barone looking over us. Yes, so David Bazan, Christopher Branches, revolutionary record for me like years ago. Put a lot of words to feelings. Yeah, Sufjan Stevens, Carrie Lowell.
Mm. Oh, of course.
Great.
Yeah, Carrie Lowell.
But by far, I'll just say it, by far the best Sufjan Stevens album. And that might be a little bit of controversial among Sufjan Stevens fans, which are very pretentious. But I think it is. I think it is his best album.
I think so, too.
I'm also glad that you said Sufjan, because I was actually going to compare you and Sufjan in terms of writing style. So
Sufjan is one of my favorite songwriters. Yeah.
Cool. I didn't want to go out on that limb and be wrong, so I didn't say it, but now I wish I would have, because I would have sounded like such a genius.
Well, you still sound like a genius.
Next one. All right, let's hear it.
Copeland, you are my sunshine. So there's your
oh, now. God. I knew I loved you. I knew I loved you. I was getting in a debate with Dan Koch a few months ago about the best Copeland album. Ooh. And I said, from top to bottom, from start to finish,
the most
complete Copeland album is You Are My Sunshine. It's not In Motion. And it's not even Eat, Sleep, Repeat.
I do love Eat, Sleep, Repeat. That is a very close second for me. But your complete album, dude, You Are My Sunshine just has that. I've never heard another album do it as well as this. There's this darkness to this joy of it's summer, I'm driving, life is good. But then you have songs like Strange and Unprepared that you're like, what just happened? And there's just it's like summertime when it's sunny out. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I think it's going to rain. And then it just turns into this nebulous thing. That's what that record feels like.
Yeah, to me it feels like you're like driving down Highway 66, and the sun's about to set, and life should be nothing but good. You're driving in like a Pontiac GTO, top down.
Yes.
But last week your child died.
Mm.
That's how I view that record.
Yeah.
100%. Wow. Yeah.
But you've sustained. Yeah. But things are still moving. Yeah. That exactly. There's a hope, but a darkness, and that contrast is just so jarring and so emotionally riveting, I think. I don't know.
Aaron Marsh, one of the most underrated songwriters of, I would say, the last 25 years.
Insane. Yeah, definitely another huge influence. Yeah. You Are My Sunshine. Yeah. Big record for me. And 10th grade specifically, that's when I found that record, 2010. I'm 27 now, so I found that record in 2010. That wore that record out all summer, and it's stayed with me till now. Like, I still listen to it, and it's aged beautifully. It's just it's genius. Yeah. Next, I'm going to say João Gilberto, the Getz Gilberto split. It's a bossa nova. João Gilberto, Brazilian songwriter. I'm half Brazilian, so my mom is Brazilian. So Brazilian culture, Brazilian music, bossa nova has a big place in my life. And everything in that camp, João Gilberto camp, I absolutely love.
In terms of world music, bossa nova is one of my all-time favorite genres.
Oh, yeah.
Just the beats and stuff like that are just so entrancing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so that's a big one for me. And then I'm going to go, I'm between two, but I'm going to go Men I Trust, Uncle Jazz.
Mm.
Yeah.
Uncle Jazz, man.
Uncle Jazz. So they're a Quebec band, and just one of those bands that I've fallen in love with in the past couple years that have really stuck with me and played a big role. And you think they're just an indie pop band, but you dig deeper and you're like, oh, there's jazz and weird, all sorts of experimental stuff. And it played a pretty big role. And that album specifically, I really love.
Love that, man. Dude, that's a killer list. That's a really, really fun list.
Yeah. I was going to say Caspian was going to maybe make it.
Oh, yeah. What album?
I'm blanking on it right now for some reason.
Their most recent one, Circles?
No, not Circles.
That's my favorite one now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. See, I never... Dustin Disquiet is the one for me.
Very, very good as well.
Yeah, that album... Yeah, I just remember... I went to Iceland in 2015 and I wore that out and just made an impact on my brain of this just feels like top post-rock music to me.
That's the place to listen to it.
Yeah.
Sure, too.
Oh man, it was great. But so your favorites, Circles though.
Oh yeah.
On Circles.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Love it.
Wow. Cool. I wish I had time to ask your guys' top five.
We need to do that at some point.
Yeah. We need to do an update. I feel like maybe there might be some changes.
Yeah. There has been for sure.
I know this felt too short. I really feel like we'd get along more and could definitely keep chatting for hours.
Oh yeah. We'll do it again. But first, we got to ask a bunch of plugs. What would you like to plug? You got the record coming out. When's it coming out?
Heal My Head, our second record, comes out June 3rd. And
June 3rd.
Can't believe it. We're excited.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
What else would you have to plug?
So not a lot of people know this, but I actually, in Italy, I run a mom-lowing business.
In Italy?
In Italy?
How do you do that from Montreal?
So it's all remote, passive income. And, I just got some connects out there, and there's a mini lawn mowing business that we got going on, and we go door to door, old fashioned style, and just ask if you need any services, and we mow those lawns. So really excited about what we're doing out there in the old country.
In Napoli, I mow your lawn. Right? Is that how it goes?
That's it. Yeah.
Is that your radio jingle?
Exactly.
Okay, Kevin, you said your wife is from Quebec.
Yes.
What is the best, and you're in Montreal right now. What is the best poutine you could get in Montreal right now if I was there with you?
Ooh.
Like, where would we go? If you were like, all right, you need the best poutine, this is where we're going right now, Mason.
Yeah, we'd go to La Banquise, which is a 24-hour poutine spot.
Cool. It's 24 hours. That's when you know it's a great spot for poutine.
They don't stop. You know,
nothing's better than 24-hour old gravy.
Yes. Yeah. When does that changeover happen? I still need to find. Yeah.
I don't know. I want it on like the 23rd hour, like when it gets like chunky, but it's like still been under that heat lamp for that long. Oh, yes. For some reason, that's when it's like top notch.
Top notch. Yeah. So that's where I'd say we would go. There's other places, but probably first up.
I also like the name of it, that place that you said, because it sounds so fancy, but it's still just
French. Oh, it's not fancy. Gravy. It's not fancy.
Well, I know, but it sounds fancy because it's French.
Exactly.
Yeah. Say it one more time.
La Banquise.
La Banquise. Yeah, see, it sounds very, very fancy.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for chatting a little bit more about the new album, the history of Valley Heart. I'm really excited for this release. I think it could potentially be one of those releases that slides into my top five for the end of the year. I really am so excited. Thank you so much for chatting a little bit more about it and being a part of this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was lots of fun.